So we carry on with God's call for Peter. When we turn then to our second reading and look at Peter, well, there's a problem. How could Jesus ever trust him again or forgive him? After all, Peter couldn't forgive himself, and surely wondered, when the crunch came, would he fail again? Jesus knows all this. And so he takes Peter for a private chat. They go for a walk along the beach. "Do you love me more than these? Your friends? Your boat? Your lifestyle? Do you love me? Not admiration, not wonder, not fear, not excitement, but do you love me?" Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Come on, Peter, don't be hurt by the questions. Everything is forgiven. A new call is here. A new stage of ministry awaits you. Don't fear the future. And don't worry about what position others might have in the church. Follow me. Three times Peter denied Christ. Three times he's able to redeem his failure. Forgiveness and love are offered, and the call is renewed. Failure is part of our lives and our discipleship. Failure, of course, might come in all sorts of ways. There are things of which we will be ashamed. There will be the failure to help others. There will be the failure to respond to other people's needs because we're just worn out. There'll be failures in our family relationships and responsibilities because we're under pressure. We may become jealous of the success of other people. But in all of this, Christ waits to hear our cries of frustration, our cries of anger, our cries of desperation, of guilt, or of pain. And when we bring these emotions to Christ, then he will deal with them in grace and bring us his peace. The one thing I would underline here is unless we bring the real self, how we are actually feeling to God, God cannot actually address our needs directly. Failure is a valuable teacher for each one of us as we seek to follow Christ, because it can deepen our spiritual life. We can learn to depend upon God as well as on our own skills and knowledge. We learn from both our successes and our failures. I remember hearing the late Billy Graham being asked about his ministry on the radio. And he said, when it all goes right, it's all about God. And when it goes wrong, well, I'm afraid that's all down to me. All of us, as disciples of Christ, need to be aware of the harm that we might do, as well as the good. Do others see Christ when they look at us? I've told you before about the street pastor that I met in Cardiff who said, "Never forget that you're the only Bible that most people will ever read." How we behave, how we live, how we talk, that actually is how others will see Christ. And our call is to follow, and that following might involve sacrifice, even of our lives. So in trust, we place our whole life and ministry in God's hands. And God calls us as we are and where we are. And the call begins as a journey. We start in the midst of our life's journey. Like Saul, we may already be faithfully trying to follow where we believe God is calling us. We might faithfully be trying to fulfill what we believe God wants us to do, although hopefully not as misguided as Saul was. And in the midst of our Christian discipleship, God may call for a change of emphasis. He might call for a change of direction, which involves further learning about God's purposes for our lives. And it doesn't matter how old we might be. One of the oldest members of the church in Rushden, when she felt that God was calling her to start her journey again at the age of 82, she started a Bible study group in her home for other people in the congregation. There is always the possibility of a change in direction, however old we are. So we begin, not from scratch. God uses every experience in our lives, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, the certainties and the doubts. But we need to beware of self-assurance that dismisses the possibility of discovering anything new. Sometimes we had students like that, and they didn't last very long in college. They were so sure that they were right, they didn't need to come to college to learn anything about ministry. If I merely rely on my own experience and understanding, I'll settle for limitation. I'll settle for constraint. I'll settle for only partiality, where what's needed is an expansive openness, freedom to explore, and a love of wholeness. For example, in styles of worship, in hymns and songs, translations of the Bible, interpreting the Bible, the ministry of women, the use of liturgy, the use of art and music and symbol and ritual. And of course, not always meeting in the place that we love so dearly. The Church of Christ and the whole Christian tradition is a corrective to our littleness of mind. They are a resource of spiritual experience which expands our mind. Never ever think that you've got it all sorted. When I was lecturing in geology, I spoke to a senior colleague about the research that I was doing and about the ways in which my ideas were changing. And he said to me, "If you can look back on research that you did 5 years ago and still be happy about it, then either you are brilliant or you've stagnated." And then, after a moment's thought, he looked at me and added, "And few are brilliant," with the implication that, "John, you're not one of them." I'd want to say something similar about our Christian lives. If we can look back on our Christian lives 5 years ago and see no changes that have now taken place, no experiences from which we have learned, then either we are perfect or we've stagnated. And I would want to say to you, only one is perfect. It's probably better to think of ourselves not as human beings, but as human becomings. We are always on a journey with God. May you know God's guidance as you continue your journey.